are back at the Chris Berg Show on the We the People Network, AM 1100 The Flag. Love that song, and we play that song due to our new guests coming up here. But before I introduce the new guests, hey, I just have to throw a kudos to Rush, you know, because on Friday, did you know, Ben, that he followed up the show when we talked about moral values and social values? Rush Limbaugh must have listened to the AM 1100 The Flag because he spoke about that on the Rush Limbaugh show. So kudos to us, right? Good team here. But we played that song in honor of somebody to follow up what I talked about earlier before the break. Please don't hide the pro-abortion issue behind my gender. I have somebody who does not hide her agenda behind gender. I have Penny Nance online. She's a grassroots diva, and she's a Fox News contributor, and she is the CEO of Concerned Women for America. And full disclosure, I do volunteer with that organization. But Penny, welcome to the heartland of America.
Oh, thank you. I'm just hearing you're a toasty 35 there. We're shivering here in Virginia at 50 degrees.
Oh, don't even go there. And you know what? I'm trying to get out of the studio in about 18 minutes before 7 inches of snow comes, and I'm going to head north to the Arctic up north here. So you guys are wimps out there.
You North Dakotians.
Yeah, we're tough. We're tough. But we're tough on the issues, too. And Penny, today we've been talking to Matt Barber. We've been talking to several people, grassroots activists across the nation and certainly here in our state about, you know, the whole First Amendment issue, the whole Obamacare thing. And, you know, I don't want to get into the nitty gritty of what the media is trying to make us talk about. But you guys had a statement on the contraception mandate the other day that I thought was pretty strong. Tell us where you stand.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think it's very clear where the Constitution is on this issue. It's our religious freedom, our religious rights are spelled out specifically in the First Amendment. And what you saw happened was a just raw power grab by the federal government that, you know, we knew. We knew what was coming. We warned people about the fact that Obamacare would encroach on your freedom, your religious freedom, your individual rights. And this was really one of the first, you know, solid pieces of evidence that came through. And sadly, there'll be more, Yana. But we said very clearly that, you know, people of faith, and full disclosure, I'm an evangelical Christian, and CWA does not have, a specific position on the issue of birth control, but we do have a strong position on abortifacients and chemical abortifacients, for instance, Ella. And regardless of where we stand individually, we stand with our Catholic sisters in protecting their religious freedom and their right not to purchase a product that condemns their spirit, that is a direct conflict of their conscience.
Absolutely. I'm with you. And I think in some ways it's been made a little bit of a Catholic issue. And I work very closely with Catholics here. I have lots of good friends, and I'm an evangelical as well. But I think we need to stand united here. And I think I saw you on Hannity or something recently, and in your statement, too, you have a great sentence that says, "We will fully and ungrudgingly render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but under no circumstances will we render to Caesar what is God's." Explain.
That's right. Well, you know, we are American patriots. I mean, like, we love our country, and we will pay our taxes, and we will serve in the military, and we will do the things that, and we vote, and we do the things that make us good citizens. But Caesar has not the right to come in between our relationship with God. And that's a very, very important point that our founding fathers understood. They went to all the trouble to spell it out and our Constitution, and I could give you statement after statement after statement in which our founding father, everyone from George Washington to Thomas Jefferson and others, you know, people talk about Thomas Jefferson talking about the wall of separation. Mm-hmm. He was very clear on that wall is mainly erected to protect us from government. And there was seriously an overreach and a breach of that wall.
Absolutely. Now, do you think, and I've asked everybody on the show today because it's President's Day, and talking about Obama and the current president a little bit, do you think, and I don't know even how to phrase that, do you think this was just, oh, bummer, we picked on the wrong kid in the classroom by picking on women, certainly, and evangelicals and the whole faith thing? Or do you think this is a planned thing to kind of push the button a little bit, or push to, you know, whatever you want to call it, by the administration? Are they so inept that they don't see what they've done? Or is this a concerted effort?
Yes.
To? Okay.
Well, I yes, I think this was, I think, an example. I mean, you know, I could say a couple things on it. First, since the very beginning, the Obama administration has had it out for Catholics and out for certainly the pro-life groups, but in women of faith. And I would offer as evidence of that the fact that the Mexico City policy was reversed within a couple of days of him becoming president. He was nice enough not to do it on the actual day of the March for Life. He waited a day just to show his respect and then made sure that all of our government tax dollars now can be spent for abortion abroad. So that was from the very beginning of his presidency. And then after that, I mean, there are issue after issue, including the fact that now Catholic charities had to pull out in some states, some areas, of working with sex trafficking victims because they wouldn't refer them for abortion. And then the Obama administration came down wrong on the Hosanna Tabor versus EEOC court case, which had to do with a church school being of hire and fire its personnel according to its own faith tradition. And the administration took the wrong side of that, but fortunately the court made the right decision on it. And, you know, and then, of course, we said, you know, the issue of abortion within Obamacare, and this is another example of the overreach of Obamacare and getting in between a person's individual conscience and their rights and their pocketbook.
Absolutely. You know, I'm reminded Margaret Thatcher, one of my heroes, once said, quote, "Americans usually get it right eventually." Unquote. Do you think, as a grassroots activist, you've done this for a long time, you have a grasp, you sort of have a grasp of the cultural pulse, if you will, being out there in D.C., do you think this is Obama's Waterloo or the liberals' Waterloo? Let's not even focus on Obama, the liberal agenda's Waterloo, if you will. Are people going to stand up, rise up, and object, or are we going to see this turnaround?
I don't know. I know that I believe this is an unmasking of his administration, and just the foolishness. You asked me a minute ago whether I thought this was a plot or whether it was just them being inept. Mm-hmm. I think there's some of both. I think there certainly was a degree of his administration being so far left and being so out of contact with people of faith that no one even thought to really ask the right questions. And so I think it did blow up in their face, and they didn't, way more than they expected. I think they probably expected some pushback, but not the outrage, the level of outrage that has come from all quarters, not just, as you said, not just from Catholics, but from other faith traditions. But I think that this has been an unmasking. I think I talked to you were talking about your Catholic friends. I talked to my Catholic friends, and they're telling me about family members and other Catholic friends who supported Obama before. And this has really caught them by surprise. And it has been a teachable moment for them to
absolutely. Like, yeah, and I think across
he does not get you.
No. I don't think he gets the pulse of faith Americans, period. You know, and I'm not going to go into what Santorum said, but I think, honestly, he doesn't get that pulse. We got a caller online, Penny. Mark from Grand Forks, you're online.
Yeah, I'd like to add to my earlier call about the uncountable millions of abortions, then specifically targeting female fetuses in communist China. And everybody that's concerned about rights in this country and in the world and about free speech, particularly religious free speech, needs to watch this hearing that was held on February 14th and go to the website standupforyourrights.me. I've posted it there. You can watch it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. You know, Penny, I've gone out in the last few days, and we got 30 seconds before a break, and I would ask you to stay on after the break. We're going to hit some other issues.
Okay.
But if we let this happen, is this the gateway to the China policy of forced mandated abortions eventually?
We cannot let this happen, and I can tell you that CWA will fight like a tiger over it, and we are joined by others. I mean, it's just amazing how this has brought people of faith together, again, like I said, from all traditions. This will not go unanswered, don't worry.
Good. We are on the soft break with Penny Nance here. We'll hang on 2 minutes. We'll be back. Just a I don't know about you folks, but Shania Twain's song motivates me. There's Mama Grizzlies out there, and we're on the line with one of them. I'm going to take Penny. We've been asking who people's favorite presidents are today, and John is on the line to tell us who his favorite president is. John, you're on the air.
Hi. At first, I want to say Ronald Reagan, but with what's been going on the past few years, you know, I think my favorite president, whether it be he or she, has yet to be elected.
Well, there you go. Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Well, that's an interesting thought, Penny. Are we going to see a female president someday soon? Is Penny still with us? I think we lost Penny. Ben? We lost my favorite Mama Grizzly out there somewhere in space. Let me know when she's back on. You know, interestingly enough, I'm going to ask Penny if we can get her back online. If a little bit about the culture wars, a little bit about what's going on, a little bit about the fact that I know she passes McPherson Square every time. Penny, you're back on? We lost you.
Sorry about that. Yes, I am.
Okay. Listen, I was reading just as right before I got into the show today that some folks were arrested for praying and kneeling outside the White House the other day. And I know you passed by McPherson Square on the daily basis where people were doing a lot of ruckus of the occupiers. However, we have some priests kneeling and praying outside the White House, and they get arrested. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, we're right across the street from the occupiers, Yana, and you wouldn't believe what my young staff have seen, mostly young women, just simply walking between the metro station and our office, and yet the Obama administration has refused to hold them accountable and to make sure that those folks are behaving and has really babied the occupiers. And yet, like you say, you know, people of faith come and simply pray in front of the White House. Again, this administration is so tone-deaf when it comes to issues of faith. And it's, you know, one of the things that this is something not many people know about, but I know about because of my past work with the Federal Communications Commission. When I was at the Federal Communications Commission in the Bush administration, we gave waivers on closed captioning for churches because a lot of the churches that like to broadcast their services don't have it within their budget to offer the closed captioning service. And as much as we want people who, you know, are hearing impaired to be able to hear it, it was sort of, you know, often it's a choice, like what can you spend the money on? And so the Obama White House rescinded all of those waivers, and now those little churches can no longer broadcast.
Yeah, it's kind of astounding all the way around. I think also I saw that in California now we have federally funded condoms sent in the mail to young men under the age of 16, and on it goes. You had mentioned earlier, we have a caller online. Hang on, caller. You had mentioned one time on Fox News recently, boy, we don't even get these kids to clean their rooms, you know, these teenagers, and yet we're going to federally fund mail order. And you were also online about vending machines. Can you fill us in?
Yeah, I mean, it is stunning. I'm a mom, you're a mom of teenagers, and yes, I can tell you, we all have our challenges in helping our teenagers learn to be responsible, and it's our job to help them grow and to become, you know, good citizens and to become responsible people, responsible parents eventually. But when the federal government gets in between us and the parent-child relationship, we can't do that. Our hands are tied. And the issue that you just spoke about, the fact that California is sending, free condoms to kids, you know, between 12 and 17, without their parents' knowledge, is absolutely fundamentally unconstitutional. The Constitution has been interpreted by the courts over and over again. Myers versus Nebraska, Pierce versus Society of Sisters, on and on and on. I could give you court case after court case to say that parents are in charge of the fundamental upbringing of their children, whether it's their education, it's their beliefs. The state is not supposed to get in between that and to damage it. And that is what is happening now. And I fully expect that there will be some lawsuits over that. The first time a parent walks in and finds, you know, what has come in the mail, from the state of California or from the federal government, there will be a lawsuit.
Well, no kidding. Can you imagine going into your teenager's room and under the bed you find courtesy of the federal government or the, you know.
Well, right. You've worked really hard to have the abstinence conversation.
Yeah.
To talk to them about your values, to be in the middle of things, and yet that the state's doing an end run around you and your parental authority, unacceptable.
I know. We have Jan from Otter Tail Lake online. Jan?
Good morning. Hey, I'm so glad to hear your voice on the radio, Yana. I met you a couple years ago when we took that bus down to see Sean Hannity, Michelle Bachman, Sarah Palin. I tried to convince Scott Hennen to get you on more, and I'm glad Chris has done it.
Thank you,
anyway,
Jim. Thank you.
I just wanted to say my favorite president is John Adams because he united the nation clear up to the Civil War.
All right, Jan. All right. You know what? I have to cut you off because we've just got a few more seconds with Penny Nance. But, Jan, you just scored the victory of the day because John Adams is my favorite, too. Now, Penny, what is your favorite president ever and why?
Oh, clearly Reagan is my favorite president. But can I go back to your question that I wasn't able to answer because of technical issues earlier? And that is, I 100% believe that we are going to have a woman president, and I think it's going to be in the next decade. And I have always said that the first woman president will be, or maybe a couple, maybe I should say a couple of decades. But I have always said the first woman president will be a conservative woman because she will be able to put together the coalition that needs to be done to win.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's interesting, Penny, I talked earlier about a group here in North Dakota hiding their agenda behind gender. Kudos to you and what you guys do and the grassroots. If you were going to talk to the heartland of America, which you're talking to right now, those farmers and farmers' wives and truckers and businesswomen and men all in the Dakotas and Minnesota, if you had 30 seconds to say, how do I get effective in the grassroots, what would you tell them?
Well, first off, I want to say thank you for who you are and what you do. You are the heart of America, and we are so grateful for all the work that you do, the fact that you bring up your kids in the right way, that you love your God and your country. But let me say, come join Concerned Women for America. We will keep you up to date on what's going on in Washington so your voice can be heard. We will be your voice on Capitol Hill. We'll be your voice in the States, and we will help speak for you in the media so people know what you think. So come to concernedwomen.org and sign up and join us.
Thank you, Penny, and I hate to cut you off. Be blessed and stay warm out there in tropical Washington, D.C.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Penny.
Thank you so much. God bless.